units, it's another 9 holes, and some more of the village. Phase three, southeast, or yeah, southeast, and phase four, southwest. We want to build this in a way going clockwise so we don't bug everybody. So in other words, so we can keep what I'm going to try and do. I know the EIR was bugging us, you know, about trucks going north. I'm going to try and make trucks go south, and I got something to say about it. So we're going to try and make it at least intrusive as possible. Having said all that, there are going to be critical times. Oh, sorry. There are going to be critical times. If a hotel comes 3 years from today, the hotel is in phase 1B. I'm going to say, guys, we got a hotel, so I'm going to do the improvements that the hotel requires. So I'll go ahead and build Mesa Road, for example, speed it up, depending on what use you have. So you have a phasing use, and you have an intensity phasing as well, okay? So if there's a need, if the business park is filled up, and we have 320,000 feet, believe me, I'm going to speed up all the off-site improvements that I need to do to make it work. Okay. So now I was on the roads. We want to pay, as I said, for Albert Way, Via Concha, Eucalyptus, and Mesa Road, which are all the roads we need for phase one.
You're going to pay all of it? Is that it?
We're going to do it all. Those roads are important to us, so we want them looking sharp, okay? So we're just going to go ahead and do it. That's in our budget, okay? Now, the fair share deals will be Viva, Dawn, Camino Caballo, and Willow Road Extension, okay? Now, let me tell you how the fair share works. We're going to pay out of our budget for the roads I just mentioned. That's in the budget for us to do. On top of that, you guys are going to collect revenue in phase one from 500 building permits. Everything we do gets a building permit, all sorts of things, and that there's a big chunk of money that goes to road improvement. So you take that money and you spend it how you feel the best way to spend it is. I personally like sand perimeters all around the site. I think that looks nice. But that's how I think you already have a system where we're going to contribute our fair share to everything by not sticking, you know, trying to lock you in on fees. Okay? Whatever they are whenever we build it. Okay. Number four. Okay, water. Water is the big issue, okay? So let me give you some comparisons. Number one, we have a net, what are we going to use? The water guys are better. We have a net consumptive use of 800 and change acre feet at full build-out. Okay? Full build-out. Now let me tell you how we got to that number. Right now, the eucalyptus trees, they use 257 acre feet, okay, just being there. So what happens is our use is 1,000 acre feet and change, less the eucalyptus, so we end up using at full build out 800 and change acre feet a year at full build out.
How much do you estimate the eucalyptus trees use?
Well, we were given credit for 1 acre foot a year per tree. In other words, I think it was 257 total, and we basically have 957 acres. I think we got 12 or 15 inches per acre.
It's on page 105 of the EIR.
And I don't know how to exactly work.
Okay.
You see, in some areas, the eucalyptus
Diane answered it.
Okay. Okay, so that's what we want to use. So you guys have to decide, is that a good use of water? Okay? Because what we're bringing to this thing is what we're trying to do is have a mixed-use community, and is it worth spending 800 acre feet or 800 and change acre feet of your water to do that? Okay? We're not going to export it. We're only going to use our own water.
I think it might be. Because you use in the county 280,000 acre feet per year. So take a chance with us and allocate 800 acre feet to us. And we'll report in, we'll monitor all our wells, we'll let you know everything's going on with everything we do concerning water. Now, there, I want to talk to you about, everyone talks about toilet retrofit, okay? And like, if you want more houses, you got to retrofit more toilets. Well, the English method of toilet retrofit is you put two bricks in the toilet and you're retrofitted, okay? It's not the most effective way to do it. What we want to do is do a management thing. We want to manage our water. And so it works for everyone in the whole area. We think there should be a water management system for the whole Napomo Mesa. So what we think we want to do is this. It's 4 points. We want to map all the wells around us. Okay, we're going to do that. So anybody who's got a 1920 well that's only 120 feet deep and having problems, we're going to take a look at that and see what our effect of that is and try and help those people out. First of all, we're going to take 6 months and map everybody that's related to our angle of depression of what we would pump out at. During a drought situation, which we talked about, in the event there's a drought situation and we have water, we will provide to our neighbors emergency water if they need it. Okay?
If you have it.
If I got it, well, I'm down 800 feet. I got all deep wells, so there's a chance that someone who's got a light well, that what I would do is give them emergency water while I fix their well and then stop the emergency water. But no matter what, I'm going to be a good neighbor. Number three, if we all get together, on which I think we ought to do, all the water users on the Mesa, let's form a mitigation fund, okay? A big district of all the water users. We all report in, everyone knows what everyone else uses, and we all contribute pari passu in the right sort of way to help out people with water problems. And we control our own water. And number four, I can mitigate my own water use. Because, now I'm going to step away from this mic a little bit, but here's the deal. Let me tell you where I got wells. I got Highway 1 right here. I've got Homestead right there. I've got Dawn right there. And I've got Mesa right there. And I'm probably going to drill another just monitoring well so I know what the levels are all around. What I think I can do, which is possible, is use Highway 1 and Homestead, okay, minimize the use of Dawn and Mesa, so I have very little effect, if anything, on neighbors. Now, I'm not going to be pumping water for a couple years, so I'm going to be watching water levels. And if water level's going down, you know it's not us, okay? So we can all guess who it might be. And I'll just leave that. I will note that someone was trying to buy one of our wells, so instead they went across the street and bought a 10-acre parcel and just sunk a well. Okay? And they, by the way, had the nerve to suggest to us that we needed a secondary source of water. Perhaps they need a secondary source of water. Amen. Number seven.
Seven, what happened to...
Six we agree with. Anything I'm talking about is what I have a difference with. The six is fine on the staff recommendation.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm just going through the staff recommendation.
So five is fine?
Yep. Number seven. We need 1320. The general plan provides for a framework for it. I don't think we should be penalized for it by a 4-to-1 toilet retrofit. This kind of ties in to number one again, where the staff took the position, this is staff recommendations I'm talking to, they said that it will improve fire safety, improve visual buffer, reduce the road and utility improvements, and incrementally reduce water demand. All of those things are marginal. I mean, barely measurable. For example, we're sprinkling all the houses. We're putting sprinklers in every residential house. Okay? What do we do? Sprinkle them twice? Can't do that. Okay? The number of... We meet all the criteria that are set out in the bullets under number one with the plan as it is. So we think we do comply. And we think it'll be a beautiful project. And I'm sure you have plenty of questions for me in the future. And right now, that's the end of the current chapter. Thank you very much.
Can I have an hallelujah for Brother John?
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
John, I got a question for you, though.
Yes, sir.
Do you anticipate any people coming and buying a second home here and just spending part of the time?
Well, I think you're going to have everything that's going to happen. You know, I'm kind of leading the charge of the baby boomers. And we may have the Asian flu at the moment. And we may be all worried about this, but nothing's going to stop us getting any older, okay? We're coming. But I think that's only part of it. I think because you can compete economically, I've had some experience in this. I had 5,000 feet in Los Angeles, and I leased it to Apple. Apple, what do they want from me? Some crappy old building I was connected with in Los Angeles. Well, they're next to a magnet school, so they put their smartest guys there, and they did all their schoolwork planning with a separate office, okay? So I think what's going to happen, initially you're going to have some retired people, but then I think you're going to also have people with families, and that's why we've agreed to pay the school fees or give a school site. By the way, we don't have a problem with giving a school site or paying the fees. Whatever you guys want us to do, we'll do. I think you have a better deal, quite honestly, taking the money, because there's plenty of land out there for a school site. So, and the land isn't going to go up that quick, that fast. So I think you're going to have a whole range of things. And if I can just tell you, like, what's important to the type of companies that perhaps you're familiar with, like Tandem, like Hewlett-Packard, like Excel, like all these guys that have really smart guys. What they do is they all pay engineers coming out of Santa Clara or Stanford or Cal Poly or all of them. They all pay them the same amount of money. So the way they get the engineers they want is give them a neat place to work and a neat place to live. So what you do is if one company, okay, can get a cool place, okay, or just imagine it. You have people working and doing all that kind of stuff. They have flex hours. So then they decide to go play golf or ride a bike or go work out or do a paracord course. Then they come back to the office, and then they live that far away. What happens is the reason why the companies love it so much is because they get their guys working 18 hours a day, and they're only paying them 8 hours a day. Duh. And in Silicon Valley, what's going on is they have to pay $55 a foot to lease a piece of ground, then build a building, and you come see me, I give you $5 a foot. I'm going to bring them. Okay, that's my job. Okay, so I'm committed. I believe it can happen. And not only that, I think we can do it in the framework of everything that Alex and John want. I think Alex and John will end up getting 100% of everything they've asked for. And I believe it'll work.
I have a question as well. I'm almost scared to ask it, but
watch out, you're closest.
It has to do with phasing. And it seems to me that a lot of the benefit that the county is going to get from this project comes from the revenue generators that are proposed to be built here. But it's the revenue generators tend to be later on in the phasing. So what is to prevent this scenario from happening, that you go in with phase one, build a lot of houses, which are not particularly great revenue generators for the county, and phases two, three, and four never happen, and we're left with 500 homes out in the middle of nowhere with no revenue generators.
You say Napomo's nowhere?
I apologize to the folks from Napomo.
Let me say this.
This ain't Chris.
I'm already one of my closest friends.
Okay.
One of my closest friends, okay, for years and years and years, is Drew Arvey, number one broker in Silicon Valley. He's the guy who's representing Bren. Where did I get these numbers? I've already sent Drew one of those pretty pictures, okay, that you guys look at, you know, one of those little work deals, yeah. Because I want him to move somebody down here. I say, Drew, we can deliver a site in 2 to 3 years. And then I'm going to come back to you with a map. So as soon as I get a business guy, I've already started trying to do this, okay? As soon as I get him, I'm going to come tell Jay. We have a checklist of what they got to do. And then I'm going to talk to you guys. We're going to try and map it. And you're going to say, Janik, now you've got to put in these improvements. And I say, I don't have a problem because we have the money to do it. So I'm, just because I kind of say it's in phases, I'm ready to do everything right now. Okay? And whatever happens, if I just sit here and have 500 houses and a golf course and nothing else, I failed.
Right. And so have we.
Right.
So I'm looking for some assurances that that's not going to happen.
The only insurance I can give you is my 100% undivided effort, okay? And if someone wrote a nasty letter that's in that EIR, they said, oh, the developers, they're going to get all the money and leave town, okay? That is not going to happen. There's no positive cash flow from this thing for 10 to 12 years. Diane's a CPA, she'll tell you. You have to put $90 million in this thing. Hard to cook it up. But if I get a user who wants 200,000 square feet, he's going to give me some money for that right away. I can use his money to do something else, and I deliver a site, and I put in the improvements.
Commissioner Vesart, I think the business park is in phase one.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, that's that. You guys don't need me. Except perhaps for entertainment value. So basically, anything that comes up, we're gonna address any need that comes up, and you will be involved over and over again in the mapping process.
The one element that seems to me to be a phantom is the resort. I mean, you're going to have to find an operator for that site. What happens to the property that's designated resort if that doesn't occur?
Well, I think, okay, if it doesn't occur, it'll be some kind of golf complementary use, okay? But, see, I think one or the other will happen. Either I'm going to get the resort first, or I'm going to get a good user first in the business park. If I get a good user in the business park, you can bet I'm going to get that resort. Because what's going to happen is the resort guys make the money on conferences. Conference centers, you have to have all the conference rooms. You have 2 36-hole golf courses. And the reason why I stuck another 9 in here is for the wives and the beginner golfers can go out and have a golf center and have a golf experience while the more, the better golfers go and play the bigger course. You know, if someone's beginning or doing anything like that.
Maybe I should turn that mic off.
You just lost Diane.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she can hit it, so then I don't have a problem. Tee it high, let it fly. Now, what we're trying to do is we think we're in the right geographic area, and what we want to do is build a conference center business, which is what the resort is all about, and then it complements by bringing yourself more businesses. Do you know one of the biggest things they don't have in Silicon Valley? They don't have a conference center. They don't have anything like this. They'd die for this. They have to go to Blackhawk or some crazy place. They don't have anything like this there, and they all need conference centers. And I can just tell you right now, you guys have a lot of conferences going on right now at the Cliffs. I think you have law enforcement people. You have people coming from all over California having conferences there. So, as I understand my job from the general plan to close this thing, is I'm supposed to do mixed use. So that means by implication, what I think you want me to do is do my best to bring jobs to the area, improve the area, create recreation for everybody, open up the area to roads and to everyone who wants to use the area. Okay? And that's what I think we did. And then also bring services and all sorts of things like that there. Okay? Now, if that's not what I'm supposed to do, then I wasted 10 years. But I think that's what we want. So, you have my undivided effort.
Ah, but you found a nice place to live.
Absolutely. I was born in Pedro, and so.
Oh, well, all I can do is say I'm sorry.
It wasn't my fault.
Is there anything else for John at this point? If not, go ahead.
Any other questions?
Any questions?
I know I'm going to have a lot as we go through this.
Okay.
I don't right at this minute. Did you share?
No, I have. Wait till I read the EIR.
That was easily the most energetic presentation I've seen since I've been on the commission. We appreciate it. It was getting a little tough after lunch, but you brought it right back up. Let's take a 10-minute break and reconvene about 3:15.
Yeah, if only you could get a presentation like that every meeting.
Really, I was starting to kind of...
Okay, let's come back to order, please. Okay, Vic, are there any more presentations on behalf of the applicant? All right, at this time, I'd like to open up to the public for comment from the public at large. We have a taker.
We don't fill out a form?
No, we're very informal.
Well, you don't have the lights going?
We just try to keep you to a... If you go too long, I throw this at you. Can we have your name, please?
Before I start, I urge that you put this on the radio. The previous speaker is far better than that guy, Rush something or another. And,
it's not always like that, trust me.
I would imagine if it competed, he'd take away from that fellow named Rush. Okay, my 3 minutes are starting now. My name is Bill Dineen. I'm a retired biologist. I moved to Napomo Mesa a long time ago. So long ago, I was thinking the population proposed for this area was probably the population in Napomo when I moved there. And another thing that I vaguely remember, this land was selling for something like $50 an acre. So anyway, that's back in the early 60s and a long time ago. And we're looking to the future. Now, I like the plans as proposed, and I think it's good that big things like this are done. I was very happy with the Black Lake specific plan. Overall protection of habitat, protection of oak trees, protection of rare plants and animals, that's neat, and they're doing the same type of thing here. But right now on the Napomo Mesa, it is exploding. As I get older, I say, wow, this place is changing so very fast. And houses where I live, all around me, houses are going in every little spot and cranny and nip and all over the place. And I hate to see it. Okay, we live in a semi-arid area. We are very, very low in fresh water. The LA megalopolis imports steels from everywhere. Arizona, Owens Valley, Northern California, Colorado River, everywhere. The Los Angeles basin is super saturated with people and cars. It can't get any more without collapse. And my prediction as a biologist is going to collapse and collapse soon. And we are becoming so much like LA. I hate to see it. If this were the only proposal on the Mesa and there were no other houses going in, I would say, yeah, let's make this new city equal to Napomo. But I have a list, well, they are in their report, have a list of all the other developments going on all over the place, and I'm appalled. The Napomo Mesa right now indicates that the cancer I call LA has metastasized up to Napomo. And I hate to see it. I was kind of glad that I'm older and don't have to put up with it in the future. The water basin, which runs from Santa Maria to Rio Grande, is already in an overdraft situation. It was mentioned that it's not, but you can't haul that water out for agriculture and not have the water table going down, down. This proposal for a lot of houses and a resort and another golf course. I personally don't like golf. I think it's an idiot's game. Hope I don't want to make people mad at me.
Don't hold back, Bill.
You're not helping your position.
We live on a wonderful area with a lot of nice natural beauty, and I'm kind of glad that there are a lot of people that play that game, because then they don't go out in the dunes that I love so much, along the coast, up the mountains. We live in a wonderful area. Prior to the eucalyptus trees, it was oak woodland, oak savanna, with great biodiversity. And man came in, cut down the oak trees. Why? To make charcoal, to make gunpowder for about the turn of the century. And then entrepreneurs came with this this pest from Australia called eucalyptus. In the proposal, you're saying protect the monarch butterfly. I bet as soon as you set up a nice setup for them, they pick another spot. I bet that's what happens, because nature doesn't always conform to what we want. One of the things that we tried to set up in Black Lake Canyon, which disturbs me quite a bit, is the transfer of development credits. And the idea was increased development on the Black Lake specific plan with the protection below in the canyon. And that whole thing was thrown out. You have increased development, and then the developer gets the extra money. What this will add, along with all the houses going in, is sprawl, sprawl, sprawl. And we have that all over LA Basin. We do have an urban reserve line, and it's bad enough to have all the development going within the urban reserve line, and that's where it should be. So I would suggest we put a moratorium on all growth in the South County until we figure out where the water is coming from. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions from the commission? Go ahead.
Good afternoon. My name is Perry Judd. I'm director of facilities for Lucia Mar School District. And I'm afraid I'm probably going to be very boring compared to the last two
what
presenters.
What was your name again?
Perry Judd, okay. Director of facilities for Lucia Mar. First, we'd like to extend our appreciation to the staff and planning and to the applicant for the efforts they've made to make sure that school facilities and the impact that this project will have on it have been addressed in the EIR. And we would, at this time, we'd like to request that mitigation measure 4.7-3A be incorporated into any final conditions of approval the commission may require prior to approval of the woodland specific plan. The other comment we would make is that the EIR references mandatory state development fees on pages 336, 340, and 341, and those should reflect $1.93 per square foot for